Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. And if you have your Bible this morning, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 5 through 15 this morning. Way of introduction, I want to talk to you this morning. We've been talking for the last few weeks about the beliefs of our church. Last week we talked about the Bible and how central it is to our faith and practice and what we do, and that we need to be studying it and memorizing it and sharing it, and I hope you've been doing that. Much akin to the importance of the Bible, we also recognize and understand the importance of prayer. And prayer changes things, is what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I want you to know that for certain. We as a church believe that we've seen God do some amazing things, and we are depending as a church on God doing some amazing things in these coming days. And we know that He will. So prayer will show how a person's faith is. Prayer is alive and well, whether it's our first instinct rather than our last resort. As we grow in Christ and as we mature, something is true of our prayer life. It deepens and it widens. Can I tell you that the more that we pray, as we grow in Christ, we ought to pray more. I don't know what to pray about. Well, you just write down a list, and you'll find you have plenty to pray about. Prayer is not just telling God what we need Him to do. By the way, He already knows what we need before we even ask. But our asking is to remind us of our dependence on God, that we can't do it ourselves, but we serve a God that can make our situation different. But prayer is also to be a time of adoration and praise to God. It's a time that we confess sin. It's a time that we do bring our requests or our needs to the Lord. And then we hear God answer back. Prayer is a two-way communication street. It's not just a one-way street. But it's two. And so when we pray, we need to be sure we leave time for God to answer. And we must not be surprised when God does answer our prayers, because the Bible tells us that God hears every prayer of a child of God. And He answers. Sometimes He says no, though. How many of you like being told no? I know I don't. None of us do. But we all know that sometimes we need to be told no. Because sometimes we want things that are not good for us. Sometimes I say, listen, I think I'm just going to have Baskin-Robbins for supper tonight. And usually, without fail, her answer, no. No, you can't have that. Now, why does she say that? Because she loves me. And she knows that it's not good for me. Even if I get the sugar-free, fat-free, which I don't, because that's, ugh. You're just wasting $5 if you do that. But I want the full-leaded stuff. I'm going to pay $5 for a scoop of ice cream. I want it to be good. But it's not good for us. Just if we just ate ice cream all the time, we'd be in big trouble. And so sometimes we need to be told no. Sometimes God says yes. And we sure do like it when God answers our prayer. And by the way, we need to thank Him when He does. And then sometimes He says, not right now. You have to wait. And we don't like waiting either any more than we like being told no. But we need to understand that God hears every prayer. And Jesus said, He said, you have not because you ask not. And I wonder sometimes if we don't see God working in our life the way that we think He should, or the way we want Him to, because we're not praying like we should. The Apostle Paul gives us the admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It just simply says, pray without ceasing. That's all he says in that verse. Now, he's not saying that we need to just go 24 hours a day and just pray, 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 and not do anything else. But what Paul is saying is that we need to be so in tune with God that prayer is our first instinct rather than a last resort. We need to be in touch with God so that we just naturally go and we pray about things throughout the day. You know, God, I think, is pleased when we pray over our food and ask blessing. But if that's the only time you pray through the day, you're in trouble. You're definitely not doing it right. Because God intends to hear from you all through the day. And, you know, so in the morning, Jesus set the example for us. He prayed in the morning. He prayed at night. He prayed in the middle of the day. He prayed at mealtimes. And I tell you that if Jesus needed to pray, me and you need to pray a whole lot more than Jesus did. And so if he set that example for us, perhaps we ought to listen. And so, friends, prayer does change things. And understand this, that prayer must be our first instinct, not our last resort. And so take a look in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 5 through 15. Jesus is giving some instructions. This is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. We're just going to look at a little snippet of it. He says this, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things of you have need of before you ask him. In this matter, therefore, pray." Then he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And I want us together to read these next verses together. Okay, so they'll be on the screen or you follow along in your Bible. But let's read together, okay? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then he said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so Jesus teaches us this great model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And it's not, you know, there's nothing magical about those words. But Jesus wants us to understand prayer is simply coming before God and acknowledging our need for him and praising God for who he is. And understanding that we have needs and our brothers and sisters have needs that only God can meet. And so he gives this example prayer, again, not that we would rotely memorize, although it's good to memorize it, and there's nothing wrong with saying it occasionally like we've just done this morning. But Jesus said, when you pray, friend, can I tell you that Jesus expected, one thing out of his disciples that Jesus expected was that they were praying people. And can I tell you, I don't think that's changed. I still think that Jesus expects his people to be praying people. And so, how much time do we spend in prayer? How much do we really know and understand prayer? And I tell you that even, you know, the prayers of a child, those innocent prayers, like we had a couple months ago dinner with our nephews, and they led the blessing, and there's, you know, they recited the, you know, God is good and God is great, bless the plate, or what, how, I don't even remember how it goes, but can I tell you that even that simple little prayer did God's heart good? That God took honor and privilege hearing that little 7-year-old pray. And God loves to hear and has honor when you're 70 or 170. God loves to hear from his children. And so there's a few things that about prayer that I want to remind us this morning as we seek again to make prayer our first instinct rather than our last resort. And the first is this, that we understand and remember the privilege of prayer. We take for granted, we often don't think, and maybe that's why we don't pray as much as we should. I think no matter how often it is your practice to pray, I think all of us probably could use a little more practice. But what a great privilege it is of prayer, that the God of the universe wants to hear from you. And when you talk, he listens. That is a marvelous and wonderful thing. And God does want to hear from you. And when you pray, God does listen. Again, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says not now. But he always hears every one of your prayers. And that is a great privilege. That through the blood of Jesus and through our relationship with Jesus, we have access to the Almighty. And so we need to remember that anything that might be over our head is still under his feet. And so when we're overwhelmed, when we're worried, when we don't know what we're going to do, what's the answer? Pray. And understand, yeah, you can't do anything about it, but there's a God that can. And so trust him to do it. Hebrews 4:16 says it this way. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In other words, that we bring our prayers to the Lord. That we hear the admonition of the Apostle Paul to pray without ceasing. Again, I remind us that Jesus told us in the Gospels, you don't have because you've not asked. The beginning of that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this. He says, "Knock, and the door will be opened. Ask, and you'll receive." We'll see in just a minute another scripture that we'll look at. Jesus says, "When you pray in my name, I'll give it to you." That's a great privilege, and with that privilege comes great responsibility. Because it means that as we pray, and this is not Jesus saying, if you pray for a Lamborghini, I'm going to make one appear in your driveway. No, but when you're praying according to God's will, you might instead say, "Lord, I need transportation, provide it." It may be that God does open the door for you to buy a car, or maybe it's a friend that you carpool with, or bus or something. But God will provide the things we have need of. God works things out. But we have to remember, it is a great privilege to be able to pray, to have access to the God on high. And so let's not take that for granted. But understand that God wants to hear from you, and he wants to hear from you on a regular and a consistent basis. And so keep a prayer list. Pray for things. And by the way, that prayer list, you should be praying for others more than you're praying for yourself. If all your prayers about, "Lord, I need this, and I need this, and I want this, and I want this," you're doing it wrong. Now, can you tell the Lord those things? Yes, he wants to hear that. But that's not all he wants to hear. And so there is great privilege in prayer. But then secondly, there's power in prayer. God hears and God answers our prayers. Think about in the Old Testament, Old and New Testament, there's lots of instances of God answering his people's prayers in marvelous and wonderful ways. You know, the prophet in 1 Kings, I think it is, that God's servant Elijah prays, and it doesn't rain for several years. And then he prays again, and it does rain. In fact, it rains so much that there's flooding. Elijah also, you remember, at Mount Carmel, met with the followers of Baal, and they said, "All right, let's put this question to rest." let's see who God is real. And so he said, let's bring a sacrifice and let's pray. And whichever God consumes the sacrifice, that God's going to be God. And everybody here will serve that God. Well, he was able to pray that because he knew who God was. And he knew God would come through. He knew that Baal was an empty God that couldn't do anything. So he let them go first, you remember? And the people prayed, nothing happened. And they jumped around and made all kinds of noise. And Elijah kind of was mocking him, saying, hey, why don't you shout a little louder? Maybe he's sleeping, or maybe he's gone on vacation. But then Elijah prays a prayer that takes just about 10 seconds. And the fire from heaven fell and consumed the sacrifice and all the water that was around that sacrifice. So the Bible reminds us, and it's not just made up stories, but reminds us of the power of prayer. And you have seen in your life, I'm sure, the power of prayer. And we could probably spend a good part of the rest of the day just talking about times that God has answered our prayers. Call your attention to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. He says this, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or does a lot of good. The effective, fervent prayer of one who is faithful does a lot of good, James says. Say, it's working things out. Even in our, as we're praying, God is working situations out. And then he reminds them, in those last two verses of James chapter 5, that Elijah was a man of nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So, friend, know this, that God has the ability to hear your prayers, and he has the ability to answer your prayers. So pray. And then lastly, I want to mention just briefly the position of prayer. The position of prayer. So we've seen the purpose and the power, the privilege. But let's lastly think about the position of prayer. And in thinking about this, I'm not thinking, and it's not about whether we're standing or kneeling or we're flat across laying prostrate on the ground. By the way, throughout Scripture, the Old and New Testament, there's people in all of those positions that are praying. There's not one position necessarily that's better than another one. What it is, it's about humble faith. Remember what James said, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Recognizing who God is, recognizing that we're not God, recognizing that we have need, no matter how young or how old we are, that God hears our prayers. It's about believing, it's about recognizing our need for God and believing what he says. Believing that he does love us and he will work things out. He will hear our prayers and he will answer our prayers. And so prayer does talk about praise and confession and petition. All those things should be part of our prayer time. And taking time to let God speak to us. I want to call your attention to just a few scriptures as we wrap up this morning. John 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says this, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Then Philippians 4, 6, the Apostle Paul said, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." I tell you that God hears the prayers of His people. And that we, when we pray humbly, and when we pray in faith, God hears those prayers, and we will see God work. You see, prayer does work around us, but prayer, most importantly, works on us. It changes us on the inside. And as we grow with the Lord through studying His Word and by praying and letting God speak to us, through that process of sanctification, God changes us and makes us more holy. And that is a marvelous and a wonderful thing, which we must never, ever take for granted. So friends, prayer is important. Prayer is necessary. And we need to take regular time to pray. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our fellow church members. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for all things and for all people. And then expect God to answer. We often need to come and say, "God, listen, God, we don't know what the answer is. But we know You do." So up on the screen, this is what our church, our statement is about prayer, about our behavior and what we believe. So we believe prayer continually connects us to God's power for our church, each other, and the world. We believe, I hope you believe that, especially after the great sermon I just preached. "Therefore, we will strive to diligently pray without ceasing." We will make prayer an important part of our life, not an afterthought. We will make prayer our first instinct rather than a last resort. So that we will pray not just at mealtime and not just when we get up in the morning and not before we lay down at night, but several times throughout the day, that whenever a situation might come up. Like two Wednesday nights ago, I went down to the fellowship hall, found some little rascal miscreants, said, broken some windows out in the fellowship hall and painted. And you know what? It made me mad. And to be honest, I'm still a little mad about it. But you know, I didn't say some of the things that I wanted to say and hope I didn't even think them. Because, you know, the Lord says, even thinking about it is just as bad as saying it. But you know, I did say, "Lord, be with those that did this." And I also prayed the Lord would help the police find out who did it, and that those people would be brought to justice. And those people should be brought to justice, but they also need grace. And they need a relationship with the Lord, because I tell you right now, they don't have one. Anybody that would do things like that to the Lord's house does not know the Lord and does not know the Lord's power. And so that's what I mean when prayer becoming our first instinct, is that when things come that don't go our way, we pray about it. We say, "God, I don't like this. But help take me out of the picture, and You show up, and You do what only You know You can do. And God, You be glorified through it." Even sometimes in the midst of our sufferings, is it God glorified and honored? And people come to Him? When I was in Bible college my senior year, a friend of mine lived down the hall from me, was killed in an automobile accident. Will was a wonderful, marvelous man. He was a great preacher. And I think, you know, everybody thought, man, he's really going to be something for the Lord. He was killed. Now, Will, while he lived, did a lot of good things for the Lord. And I know where he's at right now. I know he's in heaven with the Lord. That happened on a Saturday. Sunday came, and honestly, I didn't really want to go to church. I was supposed to preach that Sunday. And I really didn't want to. But I did. And as I preached, and I gave an invitation as I normally do, a lady that was visiting, she hadn't been to the church before, as my memory is, and God spoke to her, she came, and she got saved that morning. Would she have gotten saved if I hadn't prayed and asked the Lord to help me preach that day? Maybe, I don't know. But what I can tell you is that I prayed, the Lord helped me preach that morning. And a lady got saved. And through Will's testimony, through his death, there were many people that made commitments to the Lord, people that got saved, and people that rededicated their life as they were reminded that we're not promised tomorrow. So, Fred, know that even in suffering, that God can be honored and glorified. Okay, so my prayer has been this last couple of weeks, Lord, can you bring glory and honor through the mess of that fellowship hall? And it is a mess. But you see, God takes our messes and he turns them into messages. He's the only one that can do that. And when we activate the power of prayer, he does move and he does work. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you that you do hear your children when we call on you. Lord, the most important prayer anyone could pray is a simple prayer of salvation, a simple prayer of calling out to you, asking for forgiveness of sin. And Lord, our prayer, if there's one here today that doesn't know you and the forgiveness of sin, that today might be the day that you would help them trust in you. But Lord, help us all, those that are saved, to remember the importance of prayer. That you will help us to put it as a priority in our life. That we'll see its power and how it lifts you up. And how you're able to do great and mighty things in our midst as we pray. So Lord, our prayer is that you would do great and mighty things through this church. That you will help us draw closer to you. Lord, help us reach this community with the grace and love of the gospel. Help us be faithful with what you've given us to do. Forgive us when we fail to do that. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, Fred, and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation.